The Wally Wood Artist Edition is the subject of today's video. One of the high points in comics art history, at least from an illustration point of view. Hello and welcome to your favorite YouTube channel, Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
I want to remind everybody before we dive into this beautiful book that we are a daily comic book YouTube channel. We have over 1,500 videos in our back catalog, and you can search the Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube homepage to find your favorite cartoonist or comic book. 1,500 videos, we've probably covered them by now. I also want to remind everybody that we do have a Cartoonist Kayfabe Patreon. It's one of the ways we keep the lights on here. We have three different levels that'll give you access to our videos early. And at the King Kayfaber level, you'll get access to all of our videos first because you can actually sit in on our recording session. So whenever the perfect book crosses your path, you'll be the first one in line to pick that up before it disappears from the aftermarket or skyrockets in price, something we call the Kayfabe effect. Check out our Patreon, see which level suits you best. All right, Ed, Wally Wood's Stories, Artist Edition. I believe this was the second Artist Edition that IDW released after the Rocketeer. Rocketeer, that's exactly right, yes. And I had not bought the Rocketeer. These are big, expensive books. And then I went into Pittsburgh Comics, and it was sitting there in person, and I could not resist. This is a beautiful, unbelievable book. You know, you guys are seeing it for scale. It's basically as big as my arm in height. You know, this is a time whenever the artwork was drawn what's known as two up. So it would be printed at a quarter of the size that you see this book. But for somebody like Wally Wood, look at the detail that we're getting in his beautiful ink work.
I'm looking at the shadow on these like little buttons. I mean, he gets that molecular with it. And this is the perfect way to experience that. You know, no holding lines on the little Naga hide straps or what do you call that? I mean, laces. So just like letting the light kind of be the sort of top line, stopping the shadow at the right time to make it feel like it's 3D. Like he's doing that. He's choosing to do that. And we're not even talking about like the methods and materials and the application of zips and all that kind of stuff. Like this is crown jewel artwork. And man, this came out about 2012, 2011. I was broke as fuck. It was Hip Hop Family Tree that got me out of abject poverty, dude. And I saw these books. I never thought I would ever be in a position to be able to buy an artist edition. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm just like, you know, be humble and never have the opportunity. So whenever you get one, like we'll just look. And if you remember, like, we were so precious with them when we started to get them that we would have, like, artist edition parties. You remember that
yes,
shit?
Yes, yeah.
I'll bring a couple, you bring a couple.
Spread like, the wealth.
Yeah,
totally. One of us buy it. Everybody look.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But, you know, the artist editions are so amazing as a format, and I think part of it was they picked such great material in the beginning. Dave Stevens, Rocketeer, that stuff shines. Wally Wood, probably the preeminent science fiction illustrator in comics, and you see it on this cover, and we're going to see it in many of the pages inside, but it is the perfect subject for this type of treatment.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Again, one of their early design choices was, we're going to do these killer end pages, and what that usually means is take a panel, blow it up, and really just like show us something that we could not see if we didn't have access to the original art. And even if you did, you wouldn't have this kind of crisp detail. When I was doing Aphrodisiac, I would scan comics, you know, one panel at huge resolutions, you know, 1600 dpi, and blow it up and really look at it. And that's what you're getting here. And I think it's such a brilliant choice, because when do you ever see a canvas this size to show off comic book art?
Totally.
Got to take advantage of it. And great choice.
Yeah, it's a little stuff too. Like he, instead of just chipping off the dots, he cuts that out so that you could see through that rock formation. So that's like the level of care that you're getting with his own craft, and we get to celebrate at that very, you know, giant level. It is weird, like, of all the, because I know this works so well, I don't know that this is the one to blow up, and I don't know if those end papers are the one to blow up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, but I do just love the spectacle of it, you know, is really the piece, my takeaway.
And you know what else, man? That is suspiciously close to fucking Comic Sans.
It is very close. You're right.
If it's not, I'll be surprised, but, you know, doesn't the D in IDW mean design?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you'll get details like this is a blow-up that I think is just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, you really get to see his double lighting that he's known for. The eyes, you know, being able to see it at that kind of level. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's such a tremendous level of thought, too, because you get locked into the way that you do eyes and ears and noses and stuff like that. The light is coming hard from the bottom up. So typically when you're drawing eyes, like, you make the top eyelid the thick line. But because the light's coming from below, you got to make the bottom of the eyelid the thick part.
You can really see the structure of the skull.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a guy that knows what he's drawing.
Absolutely.
And here's your table of contents so you can see what is being reprinted there. And,
Jesus.
You know, you think of, like, EC Comics as sort of this historical high point in terms of page rate and the quality of illustrators. The third piece is the preservation of this art.
Right.
So much of this EC art we have gotten to see in this artist edition format. It's so lucky. Well, and in this case, there's a famous story of the house where this was stored being burning down, and this was in a metal filing cabinet that's what preserved some of this artwork.
Now, I do wonder about that. I know that happened to Wally Wood, but Gaines had an iron fist on the art, so, like, maybe this stuff was still in Gaines' possession, but I know what you're saying, because Wally Wood's house fucking burnt down. But I don't know that these guys got their pages back ever.
Yeah, I don't think they did. I didn't realize that was Wally Wood's house in that story.
Maybe it wasn't. I'd never heard a story that EC burnt down.
Well, it wasn't EC, no. It would have been a third-party collector, was what I thought.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, I have no idea.
So this is duo shade paper. You know, we're going to see a lot of different textures being applied here. But interesting to see, like, all the materials that everybody's using, right?
Yeah, and look how frugal he is. So it's not even the whole panel.
Right.
It's just that window that gets it.
Yeah, and you can see it's this part of this panel.
Right.
That gets it here.
And that lets you know, too, that it's already lettered by the time it comes to Wally Wood's hands. So you got to make room for that lettering.
Interesting. I always wonder, with EC's method of having, like, the lettering on the boards,
mm-hmm.
was there a script in addition, or was it just, like, okay, artists, read the lettering and draw something that makes sense.
Yeah, there wasn't. And dude, we did that Bill Gaines conversation, and I think in that deposition, like, he says as much, that, like, they receive this, and it's the great flaw of EC Comics is that you read this, and then it's the image is the thing that you're describing, so it's redundancy, which is antithetical to good comics.
Right.
Hitting it with a razor, sliding the blade against the black ink to kind of chip off the ink to give you those little stutter steps. The costuming here is very, very much Alex Raymond-inspired Flash Gordon-type science fiction imagery.
Yeah, you definitely see that Alex Raymond influence throughout.
Mm-hmm. Even with this kind of stuff.
It's just marvelous to see these things. And every time we look at an EC Artist Edition, I say it, but I can't imagine putting this level of work on the page knowing it's going to be shrunk way down.
Right.
And then put on almost toilet paper.
Yeah, totally.
Printed on paper towels, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to be the schmuck.
No.
Amongst, like, all those great artists and stuff. And when you see this stuff, it really is iron sharpens iron. I'm seeing some marks here that make me think that Joe Orlando had a little hand in the assistance of this page.
That's a really good call, because, like, some of that facial feature stand out. Some of this face has a little bit of an oddness to it as well.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, maybe it's even Bill Elder, because he's such a heavy-handed inker. Like, he inked Severin. What do we got here? Is that a whiteout and completely redrawn, or is that a paste-up?
Looks like a paste-up to me. You can see kind of the edge of the paper here.
Yeah. My eyes ain't so good, and I didn't want to put my head into the damn camera.
Oh, I'm, like, feeling it, like I'm going to be able to tell.
Right. It feels tactile. I mean, it speaks to the quality of the scans or photographs or whatever.
Yes, definitely. This is a really great collection, too, because you get, like, the sci-fi. You get some of the different genres being shown off in the collection. It's interesting to me that you have a screen tone used here, But then over here, we're going to crosshatch.
Right.
You know, it's there's so much technique on display. And I guess Wood's pretty young at this point.
Sure. Yeah, totally. And what else is interesting is seeing this kind of foreshortening stuff, it really makes you respect what Kirby did in terms of foreshortening, because he created a different like logic to it. And this is the Lou Fine logic of foreshortening, with these kind of like very rubbery,
yeah,
long figures and stuff.
When do you think the Kirby foreshortening becomes popular?
For even Kirby? Because like, it's not like Kirby had it at this era. It was the Atlas comics. It was the, you know, the nuclear age stories. And of course, it solidified way more with the superheroes, because it wasn't even 100% there. You'd see germs.
Yeah, and but then it's probably...
It's Marvel.
Post that is Stan Lee being like, draw more like this
totally.
Guy.
Totally. Herb Trimpey and all those kind of guys. Totally.
I always love this architecture. You know, like seeing the detail that goes into not just Wood's work, but in EC, like a lot of these guys would bring a high level of this kind of detail. You know, like a real sophistication of, I don't know, looking at a morgue file that includes contemporary furniture.
Right.
Architecture. You know, just really... Honestly, earning your page rate.
Yeah,
you know,
for
like
sure.
Like at a time whenever you're getting paid two times, maybe five times more than the competition, they're putting it on the page.
They are, man. And you never see him doing this kind of like a negative silhouette. That might be the only time I've ever seen Wally Wood do that.
So the adapted from a story by Ray Bradbury looks like a paste up.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is something that
one of
that
the ones
happened.
That came in when the letter came in. Oh, you forgot to pay me my $50. And how's about giving me a little credit?
Oh, this is fun for seeing some of these different tones used. Look at this, piling on a couple of screen tones so you get a moiré pattern there.
Dude, it's a moiré from the start, like before it even shrinks down. What the fuck must that look like?
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes you wonder the finished printed piece. But look at this, man, like parallel lines for a screen tone here. Not mechanical exactly. And especially with this, very organic pattern there. And maybe white dots.
Yes, I think so. I think that is white dots.
This has to be almost everything that you had as an illustrator at your disposal.
Yeah, just like all your scraps, all your scrap tones and shit, man. Ain't that the craziest, mangiest looking pup?
Yes. Drawing animals hard.
Yeah, drawing in a lot of angles and stuff.
Yeah, and some expression, you know, like body language of a dog. But then also these images of like no people, right?
Right.
It's really an unusual story. So interesting.
And actually, like I would bet... Not too fun to draw, really, man. Like, I don't know about you, but the people in the scene are always, like, more fun than drawing the background pieces.
Some references here to, like, Picasso. Again, I wonder, like, what kind of morgue files does he have on modern art?
Right.
In the early 50s. Animals again?
Yeah, there's, like, a whole menagerie, and you know, that's Chekhov's menagerie.
I also look at this stuff and think, like, with the level of rendering in black and white, almost a shame that this stuff couldn't have just been published in black and white.
True.
You know, you think of, like, the Warren magazines in the 70s or something, whenever you're getting ink washes and that black and white presentation, but, like, it's all here.
Yeah, for sure.
This video is brought to you by the books that we make. New from Ed Piskor, X-Men Grand Design, collecting all three volumes of the X-Men Grand Design series in one convenient volume. Three volumes of Red Room, now available. Crypto Killers, The Antisocial Network, and Trigger Warnings. And the beautiful Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus. Going quickly, so pick this one up while you can. All four volumes of Hip Hop Family Tree in one beautiful hardcover, along with about 150 extra pages, notes, artwork, everything you could possibly want in the Hip Hop Family Tree. The latest offering from me, Street Angel, Princess of Poverty, goes with Street Angel Deadly Scroll Alive, both books completely self-contained, but together they collect all of the Street Angel comics that I have made so far from Image Comics, which means you can get them wherever you get books or comics. My self-published offerings, True Crime Funnies, the 1988 zine, and the BW zine are all available on jimrug.com or patreon.com/jimrug, and Hulk Grand Design, my contribution to the Grand Design mythos, out of print at the distribution level. So pick this one up if you come across it before they are all gone. And now back to our video.
What's interesting is that Zipitone screens, like you have to be strategic. Like there's not a page of Zipitone that's this big if you hold it landscape. So it has to cut off maybe here and you get a chunk, here and you get a chunk, or like something like that. Maybe right. This, and then that little one's a chunk. But You have to play with it.
Do you think something fell off here?
It looks like it, right? Yeah, because I should probably have the night sky through that.
Really cool. And this lettering, is that...
That's Wally Wood.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, really, really nice lettering.
Yeah, like when you see this big bold, that's indicative of the Wally Wood style of lettering.
Oh, man, all the textures are so great.
You could feel it. You know, you could feel that bomber jacket and with the collar. Because these are like one and done stories that are, you know, 7, 8 pages long at maximum. Everybody's out of central casting, so mm-hmm. so your grizzled military vets and stuff have to look a certain way. Your hero has to look a certain way. Like you have to communicate so much visually early, because you just don't have the real estate to get too deep.
Great tie and shirt collar.
Yeah,
I've been drawing those lately, and it's like that's really good.
Yeah, that's a trefoil, and I was like learning about that because I was curious where the clubs come from the suit of cards.
Yeah,
because it's like we know what a spade is, we know what a heart and a diamond is, and I'm like, well, what the fuck is a club? And it's based off of the trefoil design is what it's called, or maybe it's trefoil, T-R-E-F-O-I.
Man, this face is such a type.
Yeah,
it makes me think like a compilation of Wood faces that are lit that way would be really interesting to watch that evolution over time, because I'm sure by the time he's in the 70s or whatever, that's just like, yeah, left-handed, shorthand. I'm asleep.
Otomo draws that face from that angle a lot, too.
I also admire, like, whenever you get to see these backs, you know, the backs of the heads.
Yeah.
There's a lot to take from this stuff. I went through a bunch of Gilbert Hernandez, like, 3 of those graphic novels that he did, The Chance in Hell and stuff, recently. And it's real interesting to see kind of, you know, you get the front, the side, the 3/4.
Yeah.
You know? But you have some of that here.
Right.
You know, it's like that's a cartoon shorthand in a way, but it allows you to read fast.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough drawing. It's the hand in perspective coming at an angle. That is not an easy thing to draw.
It isn't. And I wonder if you extend this drawing out, if it all kind of fits right.
Right.
You know, there's some stuff going on there. But that's a lesson that I try to think about, too. Like when you're cropping people, sometimes you have to sort of like lie a little bit.
You gotta cheat it some
to communicate what it is you're trying to say there.
It's the first little bit of dry brush we've seen so far, I believe, or at least that I made note of, and we're beginning to see the Wally Woods 22 panels that always work.
I was gonna say, yeah, man.
And it is, you know, it's a controversial statement and stuff, right? The 22 panels that always work, because it was like Ivan Brunetti would talk about, like, it's the 22 panels that always work. When you receive a piece of paper with this amount of text all over it, and you're trying to keep something interesting for yourself, you know, the argument is that maybe it's not necessarily good for comics making. It's good for illustrating.
You can see your screen tone, where it's being pieced together there.
Right.
Kind of interesting. And, you know, looking at these, like, these are beautiful illustrations to me. If I saw this printed in the book, I'd be mad that they're, like, these tiny little, like, you know, postage stamp size in the printing. But I look at these and I think, like, it's about 50-50 space-wise what you're getting between text and image on
right.
these pages. And there's kind of an interesting... That feels like an interesting concept to me, if you're selling this stuff, and maybe to a little bit more sophisticated audience.
Yeah. It's only recently that I've been able to pay attention more, in my own drawing, to the way shirts lie on a human figure... with back anatomy, getting the wrinkles of the shirt and stuff to kind of go along the contour form. Like, we've drawn the front of people's chest so many times, but I've finally built into my practice a little bit more effort into, and a little bit more observation into the back of
yes.
shirts and stuff.
This is one of those weird drawing things too, where it's like, okay, dark shirt, dark background, how do we make that all clear, you know? So maybe you'll hit some light on a shoulder, you have your arm be a nice white arm to give that extra space. It's such a dumb thing to observe.
Well, that's what we're here for, man.
But it's very much in use.
Okay, dude, look at this, man. It's a paste up just yes. to get duotone on this guy's shirt.
Wow.
That's all it's for. It almost, but it reads almost like Malpractice Suite, the Art Spiegelman strip where it has, like, mm-hmm. the clip art guys and weird shit going on the outside.
Yeah, it's weird to see, like, the slightly different paper colors between uh-huh. the two. But look, you have it going on here, you know? the guys in their Duo Shade t-shirts.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, though, is that the way that it's scanned, they're fucking with the levels a little bit. Because, like, when you scan it, we should still be able to see the lines of the undeveloped very faintly. If you look at any of the other stuff, you know, the Daredevil, any of the newer EC books, you would see the undeveloped lines faintly, but you don't see them there. You could see it through the ink line and shit, but like they're playing with levels in a little bit.
That's weird, man. It is they're completely invisible.
Yeah, and that's just not the way it is.
That's so strange, because you are getting some like nuance, you know, like you can see brush strokes in some of this. It's not like they're blown out like some of these levels are.
Yeah, it could very simply be the white level, like, you know how there's like the three. It could very simply just be the white, which would speak to the different color, like, so maybe.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
I find this kind of stuff interesting, is like, okay, so you have your lettering in the panel or whatever. Are they tasked with drawing, like, a caption box or choosing not to? Because there's no white out here to eliminate that line.
Right.
So interesting whenever you look at different artists like Kriegstein or somebody who takes this page and then does stuff, you know, cuts it up, adds panels and things, even though the lettering is probably consistent. Like, how these guys manipulate the lettering that's on the board or what is here, really interesting. And then if you're the person lettering and laying this out, what makes you go down for this caption?
Right.
You know, it's so bizarre how these panels lay out, or how the page would have looked minus any of the artwork.
Yeah, very right, very true.
Even how close the panels are to the captions is...
This is an exceptional strange page of textual bullshit. Like, okay, like with this. That's exceptional. And this throws everything off. So this letter had to just do whatever he fucking could. And I would say that this is not... Like, this... It should be opposite. So, like, I would say that in order to clearly read this page, you see how there's a caption box there, it should probably be over this one.
Yes.
Since it's directly there, and then you could probably leave this one the open one, maybe.
Totally agree. But you know what's interesting too is this is handed to you, you know, again, I don't see white out around here, like you didn't take a border away.
Right.
So then you get an open panel. So is it like the editor writer is conceptualizing this is, you could do an open panel here.
Right. What you do see is pencil, so maybe the letterer does that.
Boy, these pasted up duo shape things are so weird.
Yeah, and I bet like playing with like the levels and stuff is making the seam show up even more or something. Mm-hmm. Because once again, you're not really seeing the undeveloped lines, and it's blowing out the duotone. Now, duotone is not archival. If I have pages that I drew myself and that, you know, have hit the light and stuff, and it's almost vaporized.
Also, like, whenever you see pieces that you like to me, this is a woodism, you know, the way he'll do a sphere, especially. Sure. Like,
yeah, with it's the craters.
Uh-huh.
And it's the way the light hits the craters for sure. We got some cool tones here.
This is a fantastic page.
Yeah, very rare that you get a full splash page. Yeah, I mean, there's a panel, but you know what I'm saying. To have, like, an image this big. It's almost Johnny Craig is, like, one of the few people that ever really got that chance. This is some more of your, like, cheating. Like, you see the black of the mm-hmm. bottom of the plane and the black background. So it's like you have to have these lightning bolts and stuff come through. And that is a fantastic way to, like, you've never seen this before or since, this kind of like approach to lightning.
Yeah, I absolutely fall in love with this, where it's like you just have two bolts of lightning really defining the underside of that airplane.
Yeah.
So good. And white media for your screen tone on top of that skull.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because he's drawing that, of course. Yeah, you're right.
How about, you know, one of these benefits of like, okay, we're going to blow up this art. We're going to look at it original size. And you're seeing like some of the marks he makes for shadows. These are the roughest, the brush strokes.
Yeah, it's true.
And yet they read perfect.
Yeah, even his foliage and stuff like that. But what I will say is of all the panels we've seen, there's so much clarity. Muddy panel. There's a lot going on there. And that, like, I don't want to be Marie Severin color in that one. Though, but she knew what to do. You know, she would color the main figures, give them some color, and then like hit it with like a yellow background or like a light blue background, and just not worry about all the crayons in a crayon box.
I am in
That's
love.
A terrifying image.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'll say a lot of these are pretty pretty interesting. I'm in love with these, like, I don't know, amoeba like
right
panel borders and stuff that come and go. You know, like almost an open panel. Not exactly, but almost. And several of them are that way. The flashback panels, but makes for a great page layout, especially, again, if you're stuck with this lettering.
Yeah, totally. And you never see anybody do these, like, mercury dabs to kind of taper it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never seen that before.
Great little silhouettes and fire going into that guy's hat.
Jesus!
Wow. Yeah, man, you talk about some terrifying images. These planes just falling out, literally falling out of the sky. Wow. So I look at this and I go, oh, Steve Ditko, Dan Clowes, all of us. Who has not tried to do that kind of double lighting? Oh, like totally. On a face?
When I was young and working with Jay Lynch, I sent some of the finished strips to... Spain Rodriguez, and he sent me back, like, he drew a bunch of stuff to, like, show what he learned about double lighting and shit.
Look at these little details of, like, people in the background, airplane even further back, in terms of creating depth.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But what I will say about Wood, and he has this trouble a lot, is, like, when it comes to proportions and stuff in space, he'll draw big-ass people in, you know, like... people who are the size of three or four stories of a building sometimes, yeah. You know, like he'll draw big guys. So he's not the greatest with it. Like he'll fill up the page, but he's not like Hal Foster mm-hmm. or Jeff Darrow and be able to get them correctly sized in space.
Does it ever take you out of it?
Not at all. Not at all. But I think that would matter to him. Like he's such a good drawer that I think that like if he looked at it, he would be critical of it himself.
Boy, there's some wild stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Like some of these very thin lines, I don't know what that is. Like I can't imagine inking those in reverse. So yeah. Like, are you scratching that out?
Yeah, right. It looks like that. It totally looks like that. Could it be, a whole piece of scratch board?
Possibly. Could it be illustration board that was of the quality back then that you could remove stuff like that?
Yeah.
And also like, why do it?
It looks cool.
It does look cool, but like, how do you even conceive of that?
Right. And it literally could have just been that, because I can't recall many more pieces like that. So maybe he saw that shit in a magazine and was like, let me fucking try this. Keep the sword sharpened.
And some of these title lettering treatments are masterpieces in and of themselves.
That might be an example of what I was talking about. Like, you know, if you push, you know, he's in perspective, pushes deer over, it's pretty big compared to like that fence.
Another Ray Bradbury adaptation, too.
What do we got up there in that first panel with the gray? Is that duotone?
I can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
It's very odd. There's a little bit of texture, but nothing that's clear.
Yeah, no, that's duotone, but that's the Howard Chaykin duotone. Okay. That he would use in American Flag, the pebbly stuff.
Yeah, and possibly, Ed, to your point earlier when you were saying how it was like it was washed out.
Yeah.
That's about what it usually looks like, which is weird because basically, like there's white here. So, you know, I think they are doing some stuff with the levels on that. But that's about what I think old, exposed
right.
Duo Shade looks like.
Yeah, and this is an early artist edition, so they're kind of figuring things out a little bit.
I love the, like, you get to see a little bit of the pre-printed stuff. So if you look closely, hopefully it shows up. They have the ruled lines that I think were printed on these.
Yeah, you know what? That's the indicator of what we're looking at, because that stuff is blue. And that is not blue in our copy. So the scan, the fidelity is weird. And what we're seeing here, like, this is the Howard Chaykin duotones.
Mm.
There, where it's the pebbly dots.
Look at this weirdness.
That is an actual tone that yeah. you can buy. And I don't know why you would ever want to use one that gives you an intentional moiré.
This is another one of those scratchboard effects.
Right.
What is this print like?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, none of that looks like it on... It can't look that way in print.
Not in a 1950s comic.
the degree of yellow on the pages, I always like that in the artist editions too. Like this one was stored somewhere else.
Yeah, totally.
You know, this might have even seen some sunshine here and there. Someone showed this one off for a little while and paid the price. All right, man. One of the iconic classics. And again, looks like this one has been shown a bit.
Yes.
But you know what's weird here, and it looks like this is an edge of a page.
I think it's an overlay. I think it's a plastic overlay.
That's got to be it. I was going to say, like, I wonder if this was matted and framed, that part of this was exposed to more light than the rest, but I think the overlay is probably...
So we see that there's way more patina on this, and this is Wally Wood he wrote this, and, you know, it's his thing, I am wood, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, like, Gaines is like, you know what, keep this one. You get to keep this one. This one's all you. Because it's, like, the most yellow.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, man, what a beautiful... Like, every single one of these panels, I feel like we could do an episode on.
Totally. I mean, and this is his, like, most... He's super inspired while he's putting it together. Down to the point of, like, zips, duotone, you know, a crayon on toothy paper, you know, coquille board. So he's using all the stuff. Like, this is opus. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it is, but it's interesting to see, like, where what are we cutting out, you know?
Oh, yeah, they were fucking around a little bit, huh? That's pretty cool. I think this is the cover to one of the Fantagraphics. There's that two-book set that Fanta did.
How good is the illusion of, like, liquid in these, you know, depressions?
It's great, and, like, when you do it in your own work, it's always impressive to yourself, I feel like. Like, when you put, like, the little shines on the water or, like, cut into it with some white, you're like, yeah, this really does feel like water now.
I like the organicness of the shadow pretty good. And this is one of those panels where it's like, every trick you got, pull it out.
Yeah.
Incredible. This is one where it feels like there are 12 illustrations here.
It's true. Yeah, like, I mean, it's a Time Magazine illustration from that day.
Drawing completely in the duo shade.
Going full Roy Crane.
You know what, man? Yeah, I guess not. I was going to say, I wonder if these are like full pages of duo shade, but they're not.
Yeah.
You can see the pay stubs.
There it is, dude.
One of the most iconic panels, probably, in comics history.
I am a science fiction artist. My name is Wood. Pause. All of it. You know, it's all of the cliches, really, of the day. You know, it's your atomic age guys, it's aliens, it's Incredible Shrinking Man.
Really great.
Now, this is really, it's so funny, like, in my mind, it's like, oh, this is my era. And all I mean by that is, like, this stuff was in, like, Incredible Science Fantasy, which is, like, some of my first
right
Cochrane editions.
It's so strange to think this is comics in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, this is the direction comics are moving before we get the comics code. It's also so depressing to think of it that way. You know, like this is what our comics code effectively crushes.
Right.
You know, the page rates, the idea that we might make work that's a little bit more respectable, that might not be aimed at, what did that Marvel article say, 9-year-olds or what?
It was less. It was like 7-year-olds. Yeah. There it is, dude. Like when I came across Wood's work, I already wanted to be a cartoonist, you know? And when I saw his stuff, to me it was like gold standard of superhero comics. This work made me feel like maybe I don't get to be a cartoonist.
Right.
You know, like if this is from the 50s and you're supposed to do better than that, maybe I don't get to be a cartoonist.
Yeah, it's so true.
Because, like, even if you, like, trace the major shapes and stuff, like, you still might not get it.
So here's a question for you. I'm under the impression that borders would have been done by the letter.
Okay.
Maybe that's not true. But if it is, do you think he's scraping that off?
That would be an approach. They would do that. Which, like, because
you're seeing, like, they're, you know, he's certainly scraping some ink off.
Right now, today, we can't agree on a good white media. We use the word white media for the whiteout because people use white acrylic paint. People use whiteout pens, those Pentel pens. People use the leader white with the Japanese stuff.
People use white tape.
Yeah, so like, I'm sure they had even less in the 50s. Like, maybe scraping is the best option. This is like a Liz Taylor type Cleopatra chick.
Yeah, you can see like a Hollywood influence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not, man? Isn't that what you're drawing? Beautiful, beautiful people.
Yeah, the ideals, man. There's your nuclear family.
Now you're seeing some white media.
Whole lots.
And random, like. Yeah. What's down here that you gotta white
too
out?
Too much schmutz.
Must have been.
Too much cigarette butts.
You know what's funny? Well, let's see if it's funny or not. It's like, do we have a template here? Is this compass? But it's almost, you know, it's the same, almost the same size of these portals that we're looking through. Even same perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that is in perspective, though.
It's so funny to see these various like spheres repeated. You know, it's just the template set. It's such a great visual, though. Like that big round.
It is, and you know, like a rule that I came to myself by doing it enough and stuff is like, you can only have one complete circle on a page that's unbroken because it's such a fucking strong shape.
Yes.
And I think that at least intuitively, like other cartoonists have already arrived at that shape, at that rule set because, you know, he's breaking them up.
Look at the lighting on that face.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, like no holding line on the bottom eyelid.
It's neat to see this and think of like some of the later wood that we've looked at, mm-hmm. and honestly, some of the speed.
Yeah.
You know, like the detail that he's putting into these panels is just unreal.
Yeah, he paid for it. You know, he really paid for it because the joke was always like, Jack Davis would turn something in over the course of a weekend, and Wally Wood was always behind the eight ball.
This is 3D stuff.
Right.
And I actually scanned this and put it together
to make it work?
The 3D. Yeah, if I can find it, I'll put it in the video. I'm not sure where it is, if I can find it or not, but it's amazing to see it. And, you know, you can see the pieces that make up this piece where it's all composited.
What's the name of that, the 3D Maven guy? It's like Ozone something or?
Ray Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that without the Ozone. So strange looking.
Right, but I mean, we know what that is, and it's cool to try it, and I do think it works. And certainly, when you're playing with 3D and you know it, like, you need depth.
Yeah.
So that's, like, another level of depth. Like, maybe he wouldn't do that in something else.
Right. And I think it's, like, five layers. So essentially what you're doing is changing the registration of each layer to create that depth.
I see.
It's cool to see. There's a really great transcript online, and it's Joe Kubert, Bill Gaines, and I can't remember, maybe Feldstein. There's a third EC guy because it's in the EC offices, but they're arguing about 3D and patents and stuff. Like, man, there was a moment where it was like 3D was going to be the future of comics, and we're going to fight over who has the right patent for
right.
it. And I picture that whenever I see this story of like, boy, they bet on this. Them and the Kuberts and a few other publishers, and a year later, it's nothing.
Right. Yeah, just such a novelty. And you get it, right? Because, like, how does the lettering work, you know? Like, with these fucking weird glasses on?
You know what it is? The lettering's the purple. The lettering's the registration. That's sort of the middle ground.
I see. Yeah, it's all Greek to me, so I can't even conceptualize it, to be honest.
Yeah, I've done a good bit of it. It's simpler than you would think, but maybe that's now because we have digital tools for it. Because you see here where it's like five layers of drawings,
right.
And you're trying to get all those together.
Yeah.
The thing that would always fall off for me with the 3D is the lack of color. You know,
right.
Like you really, patterns work really well, but then you end up with a bunch of line work.
Right.
You know, if you're going to do a good 3D effect. Man.
I do think
elaborate detail here.
They always talk about the science fiction stuff when it comes to Wood, but I think some of his best stuff was in the shock suspense stories. I feel like this was the intentionally more adult series.
Yeah.
So like I really think that he was really putting in massive effort. This is a naked chick, by the way.
What are you talking about? I see your collar.
Like, there's almost no indication of any kind of gear.
It's so true. Like, some of these drawings, it really does look that way.
And it's a Marilyn Monroe motif.
I wonder if some of the stories, if it's a matter of what spoke to him.
I think
so.
You
know, in terms of like, oh, yeah, here's the rugged guy in the country, beautiful girl. Make it work.
Yeah.
This would have been a Kurtzman team up, right?
Absolutely. Frontline Combat, Bob Ben Odo on the lettering, probably. Ben Odo on this title lettering. Now, there's that old Wallywood adage, you know, don't draw what you can trace, don't trace what you can cut out, paste up, and then it was like one other thing. When he would do his tracing of a figure, you could almost always tell because the proportions of the way people draw comic characters and stuff were more idealized. And when you trace even a brawny figure, a muscle man or something, he's still just like 8 heads tall if he's lucky. So the heads look big mm-hmm. on a lot of the stuff that he traces off. So I think that like maybe this piece might be one.
Don't think it's just the helmet that's really making the head big?
Could be.
I wonder if potentially this is like the first team up with Kurtzman, you know, pre-Mad. Really, you know, would have been where they started working together, I assume.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, of course, the war books come before Mad.
Don't know that we've seen this yet. This looks like it could be, possibly that's a textured paper, but also possibly that is like your grease pencil or something.
Right, yeah, no, I think it's a coquille board. And I mean, it's a paste up. So it's coquille board with the grease. You use the grease pencil on that.
It's so fun seeing all of that, those pieces in this artist edition, because it's like, super great illustrator, relatively young, and it seems like he's just experimenting with stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right on the page. Speaking of which, like this kind of cross-hatching, haven't seen that anywhere. Super fine lines on cross-hatching, and this is another one. Zero chance of this reproducing.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, super curious. And it's not even like, you know, it's just like a field of a single value. Like it doesn't taper really, except that, you know, the final hour. Very kind of confusing. Great helmets, man. So much texture in those helmets.
Seeing all of this mud work, because we've looked at... Did we look at Jack Davis's artist edition?
That's a good question.
I mean, I've looked at it, but if we looked at it on here...
Yeah.
I think about the mud from mm-hmm. the Jack Davis war stories, and now it makes me wonder, like, is that Kurtzman that's figuring out the mud? Is that just something that was, like, shorthand for war?
Right.
Because it's so, you know, like a really believable texture that I haven't seen that mud in the previous stories in this...
Even that hand feels a little Davis. I wonder if this is some kind of weird collaboration, man. Because I feel like I see Davis in here.
How about Kurtzman in this figure?
Yeah.
Really keeping a lot of that. Boy, it's interesting to see this story in particular, because it feels like this is the most of someone else's hand
uh-huh.
in a wood story in this edition.
The way I always describe...
You know, like... You never see a wood
no.
figure like that.
The way I always describe the Kurtzman collaborations when it comes to the EC guys is that Harvey Kurtzman turns the fantastic illustrators of EC Comics into cartoonists.
Yeah.
Turns them into storytellers. So that 22 panels that always work, it's never applicable in the Harvey Kurtzman stuff, because Kurtzman is like pulling the reins. No, Wally, this is how we set it up for setup, payoff, rhythm.
You see it so much, like, this spread, I think, shows it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, some of these figures and the way they're moving, and it's very un-wood-like.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of wood, I think, is super, I think of as stiff.
Uh-huh.
Static almost, which is interesting because I like Klaus, who also does that, and I think Klaus likes wood.
Right.
But this story, you're seeing that animated characters moving around the panels a lot. Always interesting to see an artist... where they are outside of their comfort zone. And the funny thing is, this scratch technique, whatever it is, I've seen it now like 4 or 5 times this time flipping through.
And it is an extra paper, so that's one thing. But that's not scratch board. I'm trying to see. I mean, this is white paint, man.
Mm.
Here. Like, you could see it kind of over top of the white. But I'm lost. I don't know. Those old submersibles, they look like Max Fleischer robots in Superman cartoons or something.
Could you imagine being a dude on one of those?
No, not like, none of that stuff.
No, thank you.
famous image, reductive stuff, Sin City.
Weird how this page is cropped.
Yeah.
I guess this whole story is cropped that way. You also don't see the headline printed.
We're getting late period. Some
different paper here. Man, these pages of like the Atomic Blast. I feel like Frank Miller, take notes.
Oh, totally. Totally.
What a dramatic visual effect.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, is that one that Kurtzman figured out? You know, like that effect where it was like, listen, I don't want any rendering on these, this panel.
And you see what they, like, it's like overcompensating all the rest so that that heat, you know, feels sizzly, white hot. And just think, like, I mean, less than 10 years? Maybe?
Yeah, almost definitely.
Yeah.
Because when is that? 45? I mean, this stuff is pre-55.
54, yeah.
Here we go. Some Harold Foster.
Uh-huh.
Again, probably one that Wood got excited for.
Right. Choreographing the fight scenes, you know?
Yeah, amazing with like a morning star.
Is that what that's called?
A mace? I don't know what that is exactly, but it's such a knack. It's hard to believe this is a real weapon. Well, you know what? I was going to say, it's hard to believe that's a weapon that people would make and use on each other. And then it's like, oh, no, of course not. Right. Think of all the weapons that people use on each other.
Dude, this dented shield. Right?
That's a good detail.
That's a great like level of thought.
Yes.
And continuing the shine of the shield to go along with the contour of that fucked up shield.
There are so many stories in here that it does make me want to like go see the printed page mm-hmm. and see how that stuff is handled.
Yeah, it's too bad because I whenever I would kind of upgrade and get like the Crocker and stuff, I would just give away my small comics, the colored ones, because that was when I had no room, zero room to be doubling down on shit.
What's our morgue file look like here? Get some National Geographics.
Yeah. And I do remember what this one looks like in print as of like the Russ Cochran reprints. And like they never color the
oh yeah, I can see that.
The elephant that stays like black and white dots.
It's so striking in black and white form here where just your elephant is the gray.
Yeah.
Incredible. Boy, it's a great elephant.
Good little leopard or whatever that is.
Yeah, leopard spots, I'm always impressed because of the ink technique. You know, uh-huh. You can usually really see somebody dabbing that brush on there to get those techniques to come through. How destroyed that guy is from the leopard fight. Just scratch. Just ink lines all over his face. Man, that feels Frazetta.
It does, which is to say it feels Tarzan-era Hal Foster.
Very nice landscape. All right, and then, of course, let's get some covers in here. And you can see this is that piece from the cover of this issue, blown up a little bit, as you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. And then when you get this stuff, you imagine like Kane and Kronos or whatever the names are, the green aliens from Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do that stuff on Treehouse of Horror. They would be like, you know, creepy Jim Brooks and continue the kind of name tradition of EC. This is fucking weird, man. Real faded. Must have been using Higgins Black Magic.
Yeah, another one that maybe was left out in the sun, although the weird part is the red's not faded, which is usually the color
that goes. And the ink, I mean, India ink is archival, so it shouldn't fade unless it's Higgins Black Magic. That starts from that position.
Much better tended to page here.
Yeah, and this is such a motif of, like, the explorers, like, kind of discovering, you know, the new world.
Yeah, the landscape stuff, too, there's a real EC...
You know what?
Consistency.
Just real quick, can you go back again? And I think this is also continuing to speak to my idea of you can only have the circles once. You notice that he never continues the entire circle for any of those. Like, this is the most prominent one, and it is the focal point. And then even stuff like this, like these little ones, they're still kind of broken up.
Yeah, it's a great... I didn't even catch these. It's such a nice, like, repetition of shape.
Yeah.
So many of us are like... self-taught when it comes to this, and you almost see like some kind of classical awareness in these older illustrators.
Yeah, these dudes are taught different, man. could almost feel the seam, like the zipper goes up there.
Yes. It is funny, like this is pre getting the dinosaur anatomy,
right,
you know, cleared up. This is great texture. What a creature. Very awesome. And you do see white media here.
Yeah, I feel like, you know what's funny, dude, is this is a bad scan because it's like very fuzzy. Because I was going to say, man, I think they even hit it with some pencil and stuff, but you see it there. It's very fuzzy. It's not a good scan at all. It's the only one that's like that, too, because it's very crisp everywhere else. Do you agree?
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking, though, like certain parts are sharp, which is really strange. There have been a couple of these, and it's, again, early days of artist editions.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure, like, some of this stuff, you get the digital file. You know, like I own this, Scott, I'll send you a scan.
Exactly. Like,
and then you're at the mercy of bad scanners, bad calibration, bad everything.
A fucking amateur who likes original art, but doesn't know shit about scanning art.
Yeah, exactly.
Takes it to the Kinko's to get them to do it.
Yeah. You know, because also like nobody has that size scanner. No. This is multiple scans
or that's the V-Borg scanner. It's like $10,000 scanners.
Talking to Scott over time, some of these are photographed as well.
Right.
And a photograph would explain this is in focus, but this edge isn't.
I see, yeah.
You know, so it's possible there's stuff like that too.
Fall victim to the lens. A little dent in that helmet.
Oh, man. The cover work's so stunning, you know, you get these big images like a mob. How hard is it to draw this?
Oh, totally.
A couple guys down, a crowd leaning in on them.
A parade happening behind. And you know, we spoke about it before. Like, you have to cheat that. So, like, we already have so much dudes and stuff. And they, for all intents and purposes, are on the same ground plane. So unless these guys are 15 heads tall, you know, like, you got to just nudge them up and just accept it. Also, there's, like, something very, like, unheroic. He never really figured out the foreshortening stuff ever.
Dots for eyes.
I love it.
Pretty detailed guys, too, for how small they are compared to your foreground.
Absolutely.
That's an amazing drawing.
It is, and the color is super interesting, too, and it gives you a pause, because like, you actually don't, off the bat, you don't know what you're looking at, kind of. And it's an EC comic, so you think ghost. You know, you think that there's a ghost in the back seat or something at first, but like, of course, no, that is the reflection of the girl that he's about to smash.
Yeah, man, I really like all that, but these little bits of color holds or whatever are on there.
Yeah.
This is one I'm curious to look up in color.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty iconic cover.
Yeah, I would say the iconic cover that would put together for sure.
And you see his bio picture from My World.
Of course. Very important. And even kayfabe the fucking paste-ups, right? Like, like, that's a nice design touch.
Yeah, I approve of that. Pretty fun as a design job, I imagine.
I'm more on board for this end paper with that level of detail and this the wood textures everywhere. And
yeah, it's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
Well, long overdue, man. Like I said, that's my first artist edition, and it's still about as good as they get.
It's the one, you know, like, I lusted over it. You know, my mouth would drool and shit when I would see it online, and just could never pull the trigger, and it certainly went through at least two printings before I got my cake up enough to be able to buy these shits. I think I heard that there's like another reprint happening, but that was through unofficial channels. So if anybody knows about that, like, let me know, because of course, like,
you're ready.
I'm ready to go, man. Like, this would be the one to destroy my shelf, and so like, I'm gonna have to put it somewhere else.
That's funny. It's funny to think of you laying this on top and then the shelf just coming down,
and because, you know, it would be like boom, destroy that layer,
never see you again if that happens. It's a lot of weight in there.
Yeah, for sure. And even if I physically am okay from that moment, I might just drive my car to the high level bridge and do a half gainer.
If that thing comes down, it may go through the floor.
No, it'll go through the floor. It's going through the floor. Yeah, but, you know, you hope that there are studs and beams and things that'll keep, like, not all the floor falling down.
All right.
But then you think, you know, 15 feet, like, should be okay.
Yeah, most of those books will survive.
Just talk about myself. A couple pins in the hip and I'll be good.
That's right.
You good to go?
I am.
Let's do it. Okay, favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell so that we can notify you when new videos are available. In part, the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel is brought to you by the Patreon, and the King Kayfabers on the Patreon get all the videos before anybody else. They've been hanging out with us in the live stream recording chat room as we make these videos too, so you mitigate the kayfabe effect by getting those videos before the vids hit Gen Pop. We are going to be at Big Apple Con in New York, December 16th. Make sure you swing through. Come say hi. It's been a while since me and Jimmy been in the Big Apple. So we look forward to seeing you, man. We know a lot of friendly faces out there. See you there December 16th. Ultimately, very important, the videos are brought to you by the books that we make. And before you, a little sample of the bibliography. But let's get into the details. Jimmy, what do you have?
My latest release is Street Angel Princess of Poverty from Image Comics, and Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive. Together, these two books collect all of my Street Angel comics that I have made so far. This actually collects some of the original Street Angel comics. So this is the 20th anniversary of Street Angel's publication, and unlike Deadliest Girl Alive, most of these are in black and white. So kind of a contrast. We look at a lot of cartoonist early work. This is a chance to see a character evolve over about 20 years from the oldest to the newest story that is featured in there. I've also been self-publishing quite a bit. The 1986 zine, the BW zine, and True Crime Funnies are available on my website, jimrug.com, or on my Patreon, patreon.com/jimrug. You can read those. And the Hulk Grand Design, collecting my issues of Hulk Grand Design into one oversized volume. These are basically out of print. So if you haven't picked up a Hulk Grand Design yet, get one before they are completely gone, whether it's in your local comic shop if they still have one, or on Amazon if they still have them. But pick that up now, because the way Marvel keeps books in print, or doesn't keep books in print, those may be very difficult to come by.
That's true, man. The Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is in stores today. We only have about 25% of these things left in stock, so you got to get it sooner than later, especially if you want to get this as a Christmas present for your loved ones. Thanks everybody who have already grabbed the books. Much appreciated. It's the best book I've made to date, and I appreciate your patronage. The order of the day has been Red Room Comics for the past 3 years. Three seasons of Red Room Comics, and come January is Crypto Killers, man. The last season of Red Room Comics to date, collecting four stories, all individual stories. So you can pick any of these volumes of Red Room up, and you're going to get a good sample. You probably should probably not scroll through anymore, because you never know what's going to be in that. That's the most hardcore Red Room comic that I've ever drawn. And in November came the X-Men Grand Design Trilogy trade paperback, collecting all of my X-Men Grand Design works. Some of those volumes are out of print and didn't get a reprinting in that Treasury Edition format. So this is the way that you're going to be able to get your hands on all of my Red Room comics. This page got full price for that, man. Writing, lettering, and drawing credits.
You should do. You should take like blank pieces of paper, two shows in your portfolio, just signed, and be selling this page over and over.
Super fun, man. The books are the most important way to support the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. We are working, functioning cartoonists, and our book sales are what ultimately pay the bills. But there's some other levels of support that you can give to the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel directly. Jimmy, if you let the people know.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also listen to Cartoonist Kayfabe in podcast form if you are commuting and don't want to get too distracted with the video on screen. Obviously, the video is the best way because you want to see this beautiful artwork. But we know that some people have requested it in their cars. And so now that is available wherever you get your podcast. You can also pick up Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts, merchandise, hats, mugs, stickers, and more at our spread shop. That link is under this video.
There you have it. All the ways to support the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel and your humble Cartoonist Kayfabe hosts. Without further ado, Jimmy, can you please give the people the marching orders so that we can be on our way?
Read more comics.